Please be seated. Picture with me a man in his 50s. I'm going to say the middle to latter third. And he's speaking with his oldest daughter, who is in her early 20s. This man has made some poor ethical business decisions. His wife is no longer in the picture due to some poor marital decisions, and he is left with the younger children and a very uncertain professional, personal, and legal future. He reflects on his decisions, and he says to his daughter, "You reap as you sow." He said, "I grew up on a farm, and I forgot the first lesson. You reap as you sow. You reap as you sow." We hear a reference to that principle in our lesson today, the importance of sowing and therefore reaping. We have an encouragement to persist in doing good, and we're reminded of the importance of investing in others for eternal rewards. Sowing and reaping. Bible teacher Beth Moore says, "What we plant in our minds, our relationships, and our daily habits is the harvest we will eventually eat." One pastor said, "Every decision is a seed, and the harvest will come later, bigger, and according to its kind." Actions have consequences. The seeds we plant and the choices we make grow into a harvest, whether good or bad. Now think of just everyday examples. Speaking certain harsh words about a friend often leads to broken trust and feelings. Neglecting responsibilities at work may result in a job loss. We are told to bless, don't curse. And usually I think of it in terms of don't curse or don't cuss. I grew up in the South. It's cussing. But really, it's a positive. Bless. Be focused on blessing. The words that we say that can build up and encourage the other person. The benefit of a compliment can take somebody well through the entire day in ways that we may not even realize we are blessing another person, even calling that person by name. A man shared about a very dark time in his life, and he was usually known by his nickname. But he was given a check, it was paid for work, so it has to be in your legal name. And so he took it to the bank to deposit the check. Now this definitely dates the story. And so he asked your father, he'll explain it to you. But you got paid in a check and you went to the bank and you deposited it with a slip of paper. Anyway, he is there and he is planning on taking his life. He's trying to get affairs into order. And apparently his concern was on his face, and the person the teller said, "Josh, are you okay?" And he said, "She called me by my name, not the nickname that everyone was using." I mean, that he used himself. And somehow through that word, had a moment of saying, "Yes, I'm Josh." And that was influential in his not ending his life, but actually reinventing. She had no idea how she blessed him. But it's a reminder of the simple ways that we can bless and invest into other people. I know of two roommates, or co-workers and roommates, and based on personality, I mean, they were good people. They knew we were good people, humanly speaking, but our personalities take effort for one to get along with the other. But they made a promise that we will not speak ill of one another to others while we work through our differences. They were blessing one another. We sow as we reap, and we're called to persist in doing good. Continue to bless others. There's a study that it goes back to the 1930s of some individuals, and I think all of the originals have since gone to glory, but it began with a group of young men at Harvard being tracked in the 1930s and followed them through life. And then another study that involved men and women was added in to this long-term study. And then people in charge of the study began to track the lives of the children and grandchildren. So the people who originally began the study, they're gone. Those originally studied, they're gone. But a second and a third, and I'll bet a fourth generation is being studied by second and third and fourth generation scientists, social scientists. This comes from a report in the 90s, though, that a man talked about interviewing two individuals. And one was a man who had gone to Harvard, had gone on to law school, and had been quite professionally successful. But he basically kept it all to himself. He only gave to his prep school, hardly any relationships, and by talking to him later in life, very lonely and bitter. But then he has this interview with a woman of limited means who was full of life. He talked about her children, and she said, "Oh yes, I've got 10 children. And the interviewer is going, kind of like, looked at the book, "This doesn't add up." And she's like, "Now honey, I have 4, and they all got married. That gives me 8. There's someone else, he's like a child to me, and then he got married. That makes 10. Almost one of those, "Well, isn't it obvious?" "Oh, yes, ma'am, you've got 10 children." And there were several causes that meant something to her, and she was able to send some money. Not much, but she got a sense of joy and purpose about the difference that she made. And he said, "In her presence, I felt like I was in front of a queen. The joy that she gave. Limited means, but a life very rich." Jesus spoke of a man who is quite wealthy. "Well, what do? Tear down my barns and build bigger ones." Not knowing that that night his life would be required of him. And this is not an anti-money message, but a reminder of what are you doing with what you have? Who's calling the shots in your life? Several months ago, I gave an example that got a lot of smiles, so I'm going to repeat it. Second grade, and the teachers have got this scheme together where, in part to get the fidgets out of us, they have this recreation where you're working on a skill and you can rotate it. I don't know if we had to rotate or if you've got to do by choice. But I remember I was with Mrs. Hodges and Mrs. Smith's class. They had to bounce balls. You know, it was working on those hand skills against second graders bouncing the ball. And I remember Mrs. Smith saying, I want to see children playing with balls, not balls playing with children. And I remember thinking, and I'm glad Mrs. Hodges is my teacher. But I thought of that, dare I say, 50-some years later. Again, is it children playing with balls or balls playing with children? In Scripture, it means, are you playing with your money or is your money playing with you? Something to think about. Called to do the good for others, to bless, and to persevere in doing good, and doing it over the long haul. That means waiting a lot at times. One person said, waiting is not just about what I get in the end. It's about who I become in the process. The call is to remain steadfast in good works, even when the results are delayed. The promise of reward is there if we do not give up. Parenting is a classic example. It can take years to see the results. I think teaching is another profession where it can take years to see the results. Shared before of my sister once in her classroom saying, I am doing no favor by keeping it down here. I want to push it up here. And then quietly thinking to herself, oh my gosh, I've become Mr. Deal, the famous math teacher I talk about. I even think of somebody in my extended family. She was a bit of a wild one. We kind of wondered what would happen. Well, she's actually married a very nice guy, for which we are grateful. And it's good to see her with her child. She had a baby the past year, this past summer. Watching her with that child, I thought, oh my goodness. You put a child in your arms and all of a sudden, you become this responsible adult. Those lessons given are paying off. May she continue on that route. And I have every reason to think she will. I can't share that at 11 o'clock. They'll know who I'm talking about. Special for y'all. Career growth depends on developing skills and maintaining integrity to lead to long-term success. We learn over time. A marathon is begun with 1 mile. A black belt, the road to black belt begins with earning the yellow belt in Shorinru School of Karate. Priscilla Shire, Bible teacher, says, the harvest of righteousness comes to those who endure, trusting God to work in the unseen. And so we're to continue to do good and to plant those good seeds to those around us. It means a priority to help others, fellow believers, the community of faith, as well as others in our circles of influence. It means giving that support to a friend, whether physical or emotional, helping with a child, connecting people to resources. It's like, I don't have what you need, but I know somebody who does. It means such things as a prayer ministry. And now, second time to give the commercial. After Thanksgiving, I'll put it out officially. But asking those who are not going to be serving as an officer in the coming year to be part of the prayer team for our session and board of deacons. And you sign up, you'll be given a name, probably two or three names of church officers, asking you to pray for them by name over the coming year. We're called to support and invest in those around us. You never know how one act of kindness might ripple through someone's life for eternity. This leaves us with some questions. What seeds are we currently sowing in our own lives? What kind of seeds are we sowing into others? How can we persevere in doing good even when it is hard? And who around us needs a helping hand? How could we respond? In the end, I want to encourage as well as challenge. To challenge you to identify one area to sow generously this week. It could be with other people, through an act of service, or maybe something in your faith. As well as to encourage you to trust that God sees every act of good, no matter how great or how small. These words from Galatians, they serve as a warning, but also as an encouragement to remind us that our choices have lasting consequences. And these words urge us to live with eternity in mind. By sowing seeds of faith, perseverance, and service, we line up with God's will and we reflect His love to others. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and affirm your faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.